Hey, nurses. Welcome to the Nurse Dot Podcast, giving nurses validation, resources, and hope one episode at a time. Today on Nurse Dot Podcast.
Whenever you work in a space that limits your talent, it's rough. But when you're the CEO of your company, your talent is out there and you can do whatever, whenever, and however you want.
Joining us today, Dr. Viola Pierce, a doctor of nursing practice, international speaker, and nurse business coach with over 30 years in healthcare. As the founder of VP Nursing and the host of Millionaire Nurse CEO podcast, she empowers nurses to move beyond burnout and build thriving businesses that create income, impact, and lasting change in healthcare. I'm your host, Kara Lunsford, registered nurse and VP of community at nurse.com. Dr. Viola Pierce,
hey!
How are you?
You're having all kinds of trouble today?
Well, I'm all kinds of crunchy granola. So I say all the time, I'm like, is it Mercury in retrograde? Did no one tell me that like something's rotating the wrong way on its axis or around the Earth in some way? I don't know, but I know it's a full moon.
Yep. That can do a lot right there. At least in the ER, it used to do a lot. I was dreadful trying to go into the emergency department at that time. I was like, I'm good.
Yeah, you know. When it's a full moon, people always say, oh, nurses are superstitious. I'm like, no. It brings out some people. Apparently, my computer falls into that category. So, Dr. Viola Pierce, I am so happy to have you on this podcast.
I'm so happy to be here.
we connected at the Nurse Boss Summit. Mm-hmm. You are a kick-ass woman.
Well, you are too.
Well, thank you. Thanks. Well, two kick-ass women here together on a podcast. We're doing the snaps.
That's right.
For those of you who can't see us, we're doing the snaps. All about it.
For
all
sure.
About it. So, V, let's introduce you to this incredible audience.
Okay.
For people who don't have the pleasure of knowing you, tell them a little bit about yourself, how you got started in the industry, and then we will move into how you have helped nurses make 6-7-figure businesses.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is huge. So if you're all just tuning in, stay tuned because she's got all the gems, and you're going to want to know her. All right. Okay. So V, let's jump in.
All right.
Tell me a little bit about yourself.
So what started out as I wanted to go to school to be an engineer, my mother was like, we don't have enough money because we live in the state of North Carolina. So she didn't want me to go to school to be an engineer. She was like, she didn't really care. What she wanted me to do was she wanted me to not go to a school that was going to cost us a lot of money for her to have to pay. And so she was like, we don't have really that type of money to be taking you to go into NC State. And I said, well, okay. I said, so I'll do the community college for 2 years and then I'll go there in 2 years. She said, no. She said, we're not going to have enough money in 2 years. You need to pick something at the community college. Well, at the time she was a nursing assistant. And so she said, I said, well, okay. I said, I'll become a nurse. I knew nothing. Like, I didn't know you took Tylenol. My mother was a breastfeeding mama. Like, I didn't even know you took Tylenol for a temperature. Like, I was super healthy. And then I was essentially an only child because they were stair steps. My siblings are stair steps. There's 6 of them. And then 17 years later, she had 5 miscarriages. She had 1 stillborn. And then I was born. And so because of that, I was essentially an only child. So I never saw people sick. Like, I was like, this is foreign to me. And so anyway, I went to school. I struggled through the entire process. Okay. And then after I struggled through that process, Then, you know, I became an LPN, and I was an LPN for about 10 years just because of the, you know, they fire hose you with all that knowledge that you get, right? And so that for those 10 years, I was an LPN, and then I went back to school to get my RN degree. And then about 14 years later, came back and got my BSN, my master's, and now my DNP. And so that was it. And truly, it was, you know,
You were really just sitting around doing nothing. So, you know, I mean,
just trying to get myself out there just a little bit, you know. It's kind of funny, the transitions. Like, I went back to school to get my BSN because they said that nurses would need their BSNs over time, right? I went to school to get my MSN because I saw this lady that was an MSN, and I was like, if she can do it, I know good doggone well I can do it. And then the doctoral degree was really because I wanted to go into business, but then I didn't understand how to, like, I wanted to get my MBA. And this one nurse who was a nurse leader, she said, there's no reason for you. If you're going to be on stages, you need to have your doctoral degree so that they can call you doctor. And I said, well, okay, well, fine. So I went back to school and got my DNP. And so that's kind of how it rolled. And then I started, you know, the transition into helping nurses was simply because I was a single mama during a short period of that time. And you know, nurses work from 7 to 7, right? And the daycares are open from 8 until 5. And I really wanted to help nurses have an alternative method of taking care of themselves. And that has always been my goal. And it's the thing that has kept me strong these years because, you know, as you know, in business, you always have those economic upturns and downturns. And that is one of the things that I can't stop because nurses need me. So, you know, and so I just, it's never been a question of whether I would stop or not. And I think that's the thing that some people that go into business and they don't have the heart for the business or the heart for the community that they're serving. And so they want to just make money. And once you make the money is not going to carry you far. Like, it's not going to be the thing. So because of that, I kept going.
So was the first business you started the business of helping other nurses start businesses? What is your first business? Tell me about your business.
So the first business, it was all kinds of things because I just didn't know what to do, right? So I went from bankruptcy to a credit score of over 800. So I was like, well, I can teach them finance, right? And so then I was, you know, I had a husband, okay? And now I have an amazing husband, okay? And so I was relationship coaching, and then I was life coaching. I was all kinds of things. And what I didn't realize is that you have to pick one thing. And then, you know, and
there's a great book, by the way, called The One Thing, which I read when The One Thing. Okay. So gem number one,
right there.
The One Thing.
Right. Because people start these $10,000 businesses, right? And they have, you know, five of them. And then they don't know why they're not working. That's because you're diversified. Your attention is diversified. So anyway, so I wanted to do the one thing. And I knew that I was very intrigued by business. And I knew that I could teach other nurses business. And then truly, this was it too, was that I saw people out here that were making millions of dollars and they did not have a college degree. And you know, as in nursing, like, they teach you to go back to school to get all these degrees, right? And I was like, well, if they can do it, by all means, I can do it, right? And so I started learning, delving into business. And that is what turned it around. And I said, well, this is the one thing that I'm going to do. I think that the thing that really turned it around for me was when one of my clients, very shortly after I started, she closed a six-figure contract. I said, say less. I said, this is going to be it. This is going to be it right here.
That's incredible. What type of business was it? Was it like what was she doing?
So she was doing, she was doing compliance. So she was actually a nephrology nurse, right? And she had been a DON. And so I came and, you know, we gave her some strategies in order to get her herself out, the marketing and all of that. And she did it. And within 6 weeks, and it was interesting, but what's interesting about her was that about 5 weeks in, there was this lady that she told about her dream, right? And she wanted to help other nephrology clinics, dialysis clinics, with their compliance. Well, some people don't realize that there's independent dialysis units around the place, right? Mm-hmm. So there's not just Fresenius and DaVita and all those, right? And so the lady that she told this to, and this is the value of community, right? So the lady that she told this to, she said, oh, they're not going to want that. Like, she shot it down immediately. And so she came to the call and she was incredibly tearful, right? This is a value of community having a coach. So she came to, she was incredibly tearful. And I said, you're right on the cusp of your breakthrough, right? Because when the, mm-hmm. you know, and I said, I, you know, just before we got on here, right? I was like, so, you know, your computer started messing up, right? I was like, it's going to be a fire. It's going to be an amazing interview.
It needed a reboot just so it could handle what was about to happen on this interview. It was like, wait, hold on. I need to reboot the entire thing just so I can handle the energy that's about to come through.
I love you. So anyway, so I said, you're right on the cusp of your breakthrough. And between that time and the next time that she was on the call, she had closed a six-figure contract.
Yes, she mm-hmm. did. Mm-hmm. Okay. For those of you who don't, you know, the listeners know me, but I'm going to like just jump in really quick and go, gem number two, okay? Gem number two is don't gatekeep your ideas. Make sure you share them with people, because a lot of times I hear people all the time say, well, I don't want to tell anybody about what I'm doing because they're going to steal my idea and blah, 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 blah. And the thing is that is not true. Okay, no one can steal your idea, because your idea is your idea. You are you, the person, you have the network that you have. No one has your brain. No one can steal that from you. And so you literally were able to show up for her and be her coach, because she was sharing what she was doing. She got shot down. She got some negative Nelly telling her that what she was doing wasn't going to work. And at the end of the day, it just was opportunity. It's just opportunity to like light a fire. I always say, like, tell me no more. Tell me no again.
Right. Because some people, I think that what happens is they are shot down, and then they don't feel like they can get back up. But the reality is that you have to have someone. And I tell people all the time, I'm not ever going to shy away from the fact that, you know, of all the accomplishments or all the things. And the reason why is because when you do that, then the people who are looking up to you, they can't look up to you, because they don't even know you exist, and they don't even know that your product exists, and they don't even know your struggles, and they don't even know the things that you've went through, right? Yep. And so those are some of the things that I just look at. And so like you said, let them shoot you down. Let them think that it's not going to work, because Kara, I mean, listen, it's obviously worked for you, right? And so the reality is that you can't let people be that piece in your life. And I do want to say too, I want to go back to part of the reason why I left nursing at the bedside, okay? So I was a nurse for many, many years in the emergency department. I went to the C-suite. Well, I went to readmissions. So I was on the front end of the hospital, which was emergency department, then went to readmissions. And I remember standing in readmissions, and we had this corporate officer, right? Operations officer. And one of the things that I talked to him about, I said, you know, I took their readmission rate from 12% down to 9%, because I was always good with numbers, right? And always good with making the numbers work, right? And making sure that the patients were taken care of. But I said, we can't keep, because healthcare is not really healthcare, it's sick care. You know, we're really working on the back end to try to solve a problem that should have been solved from the beginning, right? And so what I said was, you know, we have to be very proactive in trying to keep keep the patients out of the hospital. And what he said was, and what I knew this, but you know, in my head, I had, like, you got to say it to me, that he didn't want to keep patients out of the hospital. Well, then what are you saying? Are you saying that you want them to be sick? Because if they're not out of the hospital, then they are sick. And so then I knew at that moment that I needed to roll out. And then I was hired again with another nurse, okay? And I knew that they wanted this nurse into the director position, all right? And so we had a director over us at the time. But I had a DNP. This young lady, she had a master's, okay? And I had been at the hospital longer. She hadn't been at the hospital as long. And then my director at the time would meet with her every day, but then she wouldn't meet with me every day. And I was like, not every day, but every week. And I was like, well, what's going on here? Right. And so I knew that it was time for me to go. And so I wrote my resignation letter about 3 months later. And as soon as I wrote it, I went to work and I did it because I said this at this conference. I was on a panel at Speak Your Way to Cash. And one of the things that I said in the conference is I said, generational poverty is the price that you pay for lack of execution. And so if you don't execute, then you can't expect your family to be fed. If you solve problems, your family can be fed forever.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And you know, this goes back to what you said at the very, very beginning of this podcast, was that you were talking about how you can't go into something. You can't just want to solve a problem because you want to make money. You have to solve a problem because it's coming from your heart, from your soul.
Facts.
This is, yes. And then when someone shoots you down, let me tell you, it is a whole lot easier to get up when you believe in what you're doing.
Come on, come through, Nikki. You're right? Gonna come through, right?
It's so much. But if you're just trying to make a buck, if someone shoots you down, you're like, oh, move on. Move on.
Right.
Go to the next thing. Mm-hmm. You got to believe what you are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Believe in what you are solving, mm-hmm. the problem you are solving.
Facts.
When I had originally built Holly Blue, truth, okay, was that I had first was a director of nursing. I had about 100 nurses that were reporting to me for this home health, okay? And I was typing into Facebook on my own personal Facebook. I was saying, does anyone know any Korean speaking nurses who are oncology, who have oncology as their specialty, who live near City of Hope?
Mm-hmm.
That was my personal post to my Facebook page. And, you know, crickets, no, there was nobody. And I went into, you know, Facebook groups and things like that. And I literally said to myself, where's the watering hole for nurses?
Mm-hmm.
Where are all of them? Like, and why can't I find a nurse based off of their specialty and their location? And
their language.
Why can't I do that? And the languages that they speak. How come I can't do that somewhere? Guess what?
You got to make it. You got to create it.
I had to make it. I had to build it myself. I mean, I'll build the watering hole. Okay. But I was passionate about it. I truly believed, like, if I have this problem, other people have this problem, and, you know, I'm going to solve this. So you are 100% correct that people have to, like, identify, they have to get in touch with it. It has to come from the heart. It's got to be like one thing.
Facts.
What is your one thing?
Mm-hmm.
And then who do you have in your corner?
Mm-hmm.
Like, who's in your corner? Because there's a great story about, it's like a YouTube story. I was at a conference. Mm-hmm. And it was like this story about this person who had gone out and started dancing by themselves at a big concert. It was a big outdoor concert. And this one person went out and they were like in a field and they were just dancing and they were dancing by themselves. They danced by themselves for a long time until a second person got in their corner. And the minute that second person went out there and said, I'm going to dance with you, all of a sudden, everybody, all these people went out and they got on board.
Mm-hmm.
And they started, it was a big old dance party. So sometimes you could be the one person, but you have to invite and you have to have someone in your corner, which is what I feel like you are for people, is you're their person, their second person.
Yeah, definitely. My goal is to, you know, and it's always been that, right? To always lend that support, always have it so that we are. And I think that to your point that the money is not the primary thing. I do want to say this, though. When you are building a company, you got to have capital. It just does not work without that. You know what I'm saying? And so I think that a lot of times the thought process is, well, I'm going to build this company and I'm going to care about everybody and it's going to be amazing. People don't care until you know, they don't live off of fumes. They live off of paychecks, right? So, you know, we have to be very intentional about hiring staff because as the CEO of the company, right, you, in order for you to be elevated, in order for you to be, you know, where you are, you need to be very intentional about paying people. You know, we've got a problem of, and I won't say that's a problem, but it's a, you know, it's what it is, right? Of paying people, right? And we have to be very intentional about that, right? Now, it's not a problem. It's like it's a double-edged sword. It's a problem, but then it's, you know, because I could have nobody to pay, right? And it could be just me, right? But in order for us to elevate the voices of people who are out here to help people in these arenas, like in the nursing arena, in order to build these businesses, we've got to have a team in order to be able to do that, right? And and I think that that's one of the things that we have to be very intentional about is discussing not just the business side, you know, the business side and the passion behind it, but also the money that it takes in order to, you know, because a lot of times, you know, I pay for coaches, right? I pay for advertising. I pay for, you know, all the things, right? And so ensuring that you are able to do those things. So I think that that needs to, you know, that needs to echo as well. Like, I'm not here just for the money. Like, I'm good. I promise you. Like, I am the type of girl that these people are like in the Four Seasons, like, give me a Marriott. Like, I'm, or, you know, I shouldn't say, you know, a brand. However, I don't really care. Like, as long as it's got a clean bed or I think it's clean, you know, I mean, like, I'm good. Like, I don't need, like,
you're not taking like a black light.
Right.
You're not taking like a black light to it.
Right.
And going, you're like, it looks clean enough.
Right. Like, I'm good. Like, I don't have to have all those amenities. People are like, well, I want to buy a new truck. I'm like, listen, if it's a tax write-off, I buy the truck. Okay. If it ain't a tax write-off, I'm not buying the truck. I just, doesn't matter. Those things don't matter to me. I mean, we're in good positioning enough now that we probably won't have to work for the rest of our lives. However, my mission gets me out of bed every single solitary morning without a shadow of a doubt because I love what I do and I love helping other nurses. And, you know, we've helped nurses, you know, get to seven figures, right? And I love doing that and giving them the freedom to be able to be there for their families, to be able to do it on their own terms. Because sometimes whenever you work in a space that limits your talent, it's rough. But when you're the CEO of your company, your talent is out there and you can do whatever, whenever, and however you want. So
say less. That, I mean, that's such like a mic drop moment, you know, not that we're dropping the mic. We're not done. But we are not finished having this conversation, but you're 100% correct. It's, I think a lot of times I've had people say to me, hey, can I pick your brain for a minute? Okay. People always want to pick your brain. Okay. I can't have my brain picked through. It's going to look like Swiss cheese at some point, you know? And so I have to value myself enough to say, I will spend an hour with you. And the hour that I spend with you is going to be, I'm going to bring my whole self, 110% of me I am going to bring to the table. I am going to help you get from point A to point B. I'm going to help you think about those things that are keeping you up at night. And you want me to bring my best self. You don't want me to just be like, oh God, you know, I got to pencil this in and someone wants to talk to me. And, you know, I don't know, maybe 15, 20 minutes, but you're going to get like maybe 50%, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's not a good use of my time. It's not a good use of your time. And you're not investing in yourself. You have to invest in yourself.
You better say it again.
For the people in the back, you better say it again.
For the people in the back, invest in yourself. Invest. Okay. If you buy a gym membership, right? That's an investment in yourself. Okay. You go and you get your nails done and you get your hair done. And that's an investment in yourself. That's self-love. Okay. If you really want something and you want it bad enough, then you go ahead and you invest in that. Okay. And there are so many people out there, not just myself, not just Dr. V, you know, but there are so many people out there that have done great things, amazing, amazing things. Okay. Sometimes you don't have any money. Okay. That's fine. I've been there. I've been like down to like nothing in the bank account. But then what can you offer this person? Can you offer them a small amount of equity? Is there a little bit of like, what can you do to say, I value you and I value your time and I value your expertise and I want you to have a seat at my table. I want to be someone that you or someone I want to work alongside. You know, maybe you can offer a little bit of equity. I've done that. What do you think about that? What are your thoughts on that? Hey, nurses! Are you ready to elevate your nursing career? The Wound Care Education Institute can help you reach your goals with expert training in skin and wound management, diabetic wound care, and ostomy management. WCEI offers the largest selection of wound care learning options, designed to enhance your skills, build your confidence, and prepare you for board certification exams. With flexible formats, on-demand, live online, or on-site, you can choose what fits your schedule. Thousands of nurses have trusted WCEI to take their careers to the next level. Now it's your turn. Save $100 on new certification courses with code SAVE100 at checkout. Visit WCEI.net to explore course options and start your journey today. Offer valid on new purchases only, excludes recertifications and refresher courses.
I think that it is probably one of the most valid things that you can ever say, because one of the things I'm going to bet on myself every single solitary time, and I'm going to invest in myself every single solitary time. It amazes me how people will go to school. Okay. And I'm not against school. Okay. But I went for a lot of years, and that's because I didn't notice. Okay. So I'm going to give you the Cliff Notes version, so you ain't got to go to school for 20 years. Literally, people will go to school, get a degree that they're teaching. It used to bore me out of my mind because it used to teach me, like, for my dissertation, we had to do an entire chapter. So for those of you out there who's not went and got your dissertation yet, let me tell you something. It's a 5-chapter book that you got to write, okay? And that second chapter, okay, I think it's the second or maybe the third chapter, is on theory. Okay. Or the first one. I don't really remember, but it's on theory. I was like, why are we spending so much time on theory? Why isn't that we're spending more time on execution? So anyway, I ended up going back and getting the degree. But the reality is that there's things that are taught that you just don't need to know. Like I don't need to know all those things. Now it helped me. I can say that going back to school to get my DNP did one thing for me. If it didn't do anything else, it made me very disciplined. And so I don't I don't have, I, you know, I'm very, very disciplined. I had a son at the time. He's still living. He's still, you know, every now and then tear my nerves up. But at the time, you know, whenever your paper was due on Wednesday night at 11:59, like he would come in there at 7 o'clock, right? Every Wednesday night, he'd be like wanting to talk to mama. Hey mama, you ain't even want to talk to me this whole week. And now you want to come and talk to me, but okay. So I loved him, right? So I wanted to talk to him and I wanted to give him my time. So I had to get up at 4 a.m. in the morning because I needed to, first of all, I'm fresher in the morning. I had to get up at 4 a.m. in the morning in order to do it. And I still have that practice today, right? And so it became a very disciplined thing. But the reality is that if you don't invest in yourself, you go back to school, you spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to invest in a school that gives you a degree that you maybe or maybe not cannot use, when you can just invest in coaching with for a degree, for thing, not for a degree, but for a coaching service that you can use over and over and over and over again. Like when we teach you how to build your systems, like you solve the problem, they pay you. Like we teach you to build your system so that that's a seamless process. You know what I'm saying? And so like, I have a client that she went like her, she went to a conference over the weekend. She made $13,000 at this conference. Like she, and it was because of the fact that we set her systems up so that she was able, people were coming to her, right? Because of the way that we set the systems up. So it's important. And what I realized is that you have to have systems, you have to have operations, and you have to have management. I mean, marketing, right? Well, the systems is the operations, but the sales and the marketing and the operations. And when you have those three things together, then you can set up your company so that it can win. Right. And it's just, it's vitally important. And you can take it off your taxes.
Systems are the foundation.
Listen.
Systems are the foundation of your house. Mm. Okay. You don't have a good foundation. Guess what?
It's going to fall.
Your house is going to fall down.
Right.
It's going to fall down. Yeah. And that's the thing is that you have to, you have to know what you're not good at.
Mm.
Okay.
I love it.
You do. Mm-hmm. Okay. Honestly, you have to know, like for me, I am a visionary. I am a futurist. I love to think big and I love to think from like 50,000 feet. Okay. But I can see the future. Okay. And that's my strong suit. Okay. I am a networker. I can talk to anybody. Anybody.
You sure can.
About anything. That's why this podcast is so great for me. My friend asked me, he's like, how do you like the podcast? I said, I have a platform to talk to people. Are you kidding me? I was like, that's my jam. That's, someone's paying me to talk to people. Okay, so you have to know like where your strong suits are, okay? Now, organizing and doing like the financials for the business, No. And you know what? Pam, my accountant, she will tell you all day long that I have no business inside with the numbers. And I am very mathematical. Like I am good. I can like calculate a lot of things. I am terrible when it comes to like to all of the projections. And I've gotten a lot better because I've had to do it for my job. But it is not what I love to do.
I think that's a very valid point. And one of the things as visionaries, I think the disc scale. So what I've had to learn is that I've got to hire somebody. I have to hire to my weakness. And so I'm a high D, high I, right? And so, you know, and this is, you know, the disc people don't come after me, okay? But this is what I think disc is, okay? I think that the high Ds, they're the ones who are going to get it done, but they think that their way is always the right way. The high I's are the ones who are going to get it. They're the life of the party, but they can't organize anything. The high S's are the ones who they care about everybody else, but they care about them to the fault of themselves. And then the high C's are the ones who want everything to be perfect, but they won't launch because everything needs to be perfect. So, you know, that's how I describe it. So don't come after me if that ain't right. However,
they get analysis paralysis. The
right,
last category
exactly,
gets
exactly.
analysis paralysis. It's like everything they can never failure to launch. Like, they're never going to just get to the next
level.
Yes.
And what I know is that as a high D, high I, I have to hire S's and C's because that's my weakness. Mm-hmm. And so C's especially. So if you're hiring somebody in operations, that needs to be a C, right? Because mm-hmm. that person needs to be the person that's going to get everything right. They're going to make sure that your operations are good, especially with the visionary, because the visionary will come in there and mess everything all up, right? And then they got to be able to make sure that it stays clean and intact. And so that's what I have learned throughout the process of making sure that, you know, I hire people to my weakness, but also, you know, the systems is what really changed my life. Like, within a year of me exiting corporate, I doubled my salary. And then, and I was able to help other nurses, you know, bring in 6 and 7 figures a year. So it's been amazing. It's been an amazing journey.
Cause you're starting with like your own humility in a way, right? Like sometimes people have a really hard time getting in touch with what they're not good at.
Okay.
It takes an element of like vulnerability, humility to say, you know what? I don't do that well.
Mm-hmm.
I need to ask somebody for help. I need to hire, like you said, to my weakness. And that's what a coach is so good at, is that they can sit there and help you to identify who are those right partners. I will tell you that, like, when I first started out my company, I was like, I want my friend to be my business partner because I like her and she's fun and she had
no.
And I love her. Like, she's amazing. But the thing is that, like, I was like, this is going to be so fun. We're going to do this business together and it's going to be great. And I did not know enough about I didn't have enough self-awareness to know what I was going to need, right? You know, in hindsight, now I tell people, so it's a great opportunity, because when I'm coaching, I tell people, hey, look, you got to like identify, because who's going to be, if you're doing a tech company, do you code? Do you know how to code? Are you going to be able to go to these networking events and understand what they're talking about? If you can't, then you should have a CTO.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it. That's right.
Right?
That's right. That's right. And I love how you talked about the partnership, because people have to be very, very careful about partnership. Like, there has to be, an agreement in place, operating agreement. There has to be contracts in place. And that can help ease a little bit of the burden. Well, I had a partnership when I first started for the events. And after like the first event, I knew that I wasn't going to continue with the partnership, but that's just because mm-hmm. one of the persons, like, she was very, like, she wanted to do things, but then I'm a do things in order type of girl. Okay, like, mm-hmm. I don't want you, like, we are not going to be out here willy-nilly and just, you know, doing stuff, right? Like, it's going to be very much, like, when you come to my events are very much, we start on time, we end on time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're very intentional about because I'm very intentional about the people, right? I'm taking your time, or you're giving me your time. And so I need to be respectful of everything. And so, like, if you come mm-hmm. to even like speakers, whenever they come, if they go over their time, they will never be invited back. Like, because then you're impinging on other speakers who have just as, you know, a great of message as you do, and they can't get their stuff out because you're going over your time, you know, those types of things. So I'm very intentional about that. And so, because of the fact that she was, you know, we just did not get along on some instances, we decided that we would part, but because we had an operating agreement in place, because we had a contract in place, it was just split the money and we go our separate ways and we dissolved the business and everything was all good.
Yep. Strong fences make for happy neighbors.
Ooh, child, you better go ahead now. Where you get that from? I like that. I like that. I like that.
I didn't make it up. I heard it somewhere. But it's true. I mean, like, if you want to have a partnership, and look, I'm a big proponent of saying, hey, look, you can have all of nothing or some of something.
Mm-hmm.
And in certain situations, you probably need a strong team. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that means that you're going to have to probably share some equity. You're going to have to find the right people to fill the right gaps for you so that you can be, if you're looking for investment, if someone's going to invest in you, they're looking at your team. Who do you have set up for success? Because they're putting money into your company, right? So you have to put those things in place, those strong boundaries and those strong contracts mm-hmm. in place so that if it doesn't work out, it doesn't devastate your business, because you don't want it to devastate your business, because sometimes, yeah, things don't work out. When I had to go back to my partners, I had the hardest time figuring out what was I going to say to them? What was I going to say? How was I going to position this? And I finally got down to one sentence. And I said, my work and my risk is not reflected in my shares. And that's it. And that is all I said. So they can come back and say, well, what do you mean? Or I think it is. Or, but really, they were like, well, what do you think would be reflective mm-hmm. of your work and your risk? Because mm-hmm. I had taken out a second on my house for like $100,000. I had like, you know, I was pouring myself into the business. I was taking all kinds of risk and work. And so eventually we renegotiated and they transferred shares to me. Because I had to see my own value and I had to say, look, if I stepped away from this, it would devastate the company. Mm-hmm. The company would dissolve if I step away from this. And they knew that, you know, but you don't really want to have to end up in that situation in the first place.
Facts. Facts.
It's a hard place. Like if you can learn from me, learn from me. Yeah. Like, don't end up there. But that's where strong leadership and coaching comes in. Is because there's a lot of things, like a lot of mistakes you're going to make. You're going to make a lot of mistakes.
Facts.
Okay. But there are mistakes you don't have to make.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's where coaching comes in.
I mean, like you shorten the time from 0 to 10, right? Or 0 to 100. You shorten that time. And you want to make sure that you're doing that and understanding how your coach can, you know, move the needle. And I mean, honestly, I just look at my coach and just see, you know, how she's moving. And I'm just like, yeah, I ain't moving fast enough. Like literally today I was like, I'm not even moving fast enough. And I mean, we're decent. We're doing very decent, right? But at the end of the day, we want to ensure that we are touching as many nurses' lives as we can. Mm-hmm. And in order for us to be able to do that, we have to be very intentional about all the things, marketing, operations. You know, I just told my team this morning that I'm not going to be the one that's going to be following up with you. Our COO is going to be following up with you. I'm no longer going to be the one because I have to work on the business as opposed to in the business.
Yes.
And when you get to that point, it literally changes how you view it. And then you can run, you know, with the lions, right? But it's really, really important that you have all those things in place so that you can affect more lives. Like yep. We have affected so many lives, and I'm super excited about the fact that we have, right? Because money is a tool, but it's a tool that you need in order to be able to affect other people, right? Like I can't run Facebook ads on sniffs, right? Like it just doesn't work on ashes. Like I've got to give them some money. Like they're going to be like, you say what now? You want to give me some coin? No, that's not what, like, what are we doing over here? Right? So you have to give them some money in order to be able to run the ads, get your you out there, or spend money on a videographer in order to do the things that you mm-hmm. need to do, whatever it is, in order for you to be elevated so that you are top of mind, so that whenever they think about going into nursing business, then that's who they think about, right? So you have to be very intentional about that. So, yes. I could talk on that all day long. So,
absolutely. And it's so important for people to realize that we're in an age right now. Like even when I started my business, it wasn't during a time of AI, okay? Mm. Things are moving now so fast.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So anything you can do to get a leg up, anything that you can do that is going to help you avoid getting slowed down in some capacity or making a mistake that's going to slow you down. Because nowadays, with AI and how fast businesses are popping up and how fast, like, it's exciting and it's kind of incredible, but at the same time, you have to know how to utilize all of those pieces of technology and all of those new softwares that are out there that can help you work smarter, not harder. Yeah. And if you don't have access to that, and if you don't have someone that's like helping you navigate that and staying ahead, because that goes back to like that foundational, like your systems,
mm-hmm.
right? And how much technology do you have incorporated into your systems so that you are like able to literally turn your business around fast.
Right.
Okay. Or pivot. If you need to pivot, you got to be able to pivot fast. And so all of that is like, is so important. You know, I know we're almost approaching time, but I want to like, I do want to ask you, what are your thoughts a little bit around technology and how do you kind of incorporate that into your coaching business? Like as AI has kind of stormed into the scene.
So I think my love from technology came simply from the fact that I hate to write. Okay. So because I hate to write, like when they brought that computer system, because I've been a nurse for a long time, so I used to write out all those assessments, right? And so when they brought that computer in and all I had to do was type, I was like, say less. So I was like, let's get with this. And so my love of technology has been, it's been a long time over. But when it comes to AI and all of that, I embrace it because I know that if you don't embrace it, it's like the internet, right? It's coming. It's here. You can either embrace it or not, right? So, you know, that old adage of working a good government job until you're old. Problem is that many, many people, they listen to need to listen to your mom and dad. Okay, don't think that, right? But when it comes to making money, right? Or comes to how your career goes, when you listen to someone who, number one, who may not have, they don't have the wealth that you are going to acquire, okay? Then they can't teach you that. So that's the reason why you have coaches, okay? Number two is that when they have not built a business, then you can't listen to that, right? So you have to be very intentional about that. But the biggest mm-hmm. thing I think, now that I think I know, is that you have to be very intentional about incorporating systems because everybody has a system. And once you incorporate the systems, then you're not frustrated by all the one-on-ones and the back and the forth. And so, you know, of course we have a CRM, customer relations management system. In addition, you know, we have all these AI tools that help us. Like if I want to put up a real quick presentation, you know, I'll go to Gamma and, you know, and do it, right? Or, you know, ChatGPT, apparently the one that's $200. I don't know whether I'm interested in that one or not, but anyway, so, you know, but all the things, right, that you incorporate in order to help you, number one, with your messaging, with how you put it out there to the public so that you can attract the ideal client. Like we've had it help us tremendously. And with each time, what we do is we take what worked previously. We take that particular thing and then we slide that to the left and we say, okay, is this going to work now? And then we keep reworking it until we nail down the actual verbiage that will help people convert, because it's all about conversions. Because sales, mm-hmm. I think that one of the things that people don't understand is that sales is service, right? And that the more that you sell to the person, you are serving them, number one. Number two is that if they don't get it from you, they're going to get it from someone else. And that person may not have the integrity that you do. And so you really want to be intentional about helping the people with the real sales, the systems that you need. And so mm-hmm. that's where you have to come in and think, You don't want them to go to someone else because you are serving them in a way. And mm-hmm. so I, you know, I'm very passionate about that for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's so true. And there's just so much, there's so much you can get from having a good mentor, and a good coach. I had amazing mentors and coaches, and I am deeply, deeply grateful to them, because I think that why I was able to build a business and sell a business, get acquired, is because I stacked the deck in my favor.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah, you gotta stack the deck in your favor.
And I love the fact that you were able to sell the company. You know, that's beast mode. That's boss mode right there. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what that is. And so, you know, and it helps you to be able to, you know, do those things. So it's really, really good. I'm super excited about that.
I'm so happy that I know you.
I'm so happy to have you too.
I'm so grateful to have someone like you in my life, in my network, and that I was able to have you on this podcast, and that all the listeners can be able to get all of these like words of wisdom from you. Okay, so if nurses are like, hey, this is for me, I want to explore, I have an idea, I have a concept, or I've already started a business, okay? Like, just because you've already started doesn't mean that you can't get help. It's even more so probably a good idea. How do people find you?
So that's a great question. So we have a website, is V as in Victor, P as in Paul, nursing.com. You can go to our masterclass link and you can sign up for our next masterclass. But we also have a conference coming up. It's February 20th through the 21st, 2026. And it's called the Millionaire Nurse CEO Conference. And so we will be serving people at that conference too. So there's a conference link up there as well. And of course, I have a book. It's called The Audacity to Execute. You can find it on YouTube, or you can go to the website and get it as well. So either way.
That's awesome. Okay. And if you're driving, walking your dogs, don't have a pen near you, don't want to have to go back and listen to it, don't worry, it's fine. You can go to nurse.com/podcast and go to this episode. We always make sure that we have links to our guests and websites and everything that you could possibly need in order to be able to get in touch with Dr. Viola Pierce. I love that your name just immediately becomes VP in... Right. I mean, that's awesome. That's right. Awesome.
Right, right.
Yeah. Well, I'm so grateful that you spent this hour with me, and I look forward to the next time I get to see you.
Well, Kara, I just want to say thank you too. Just thank you for inviting me. Thank you for just being so diligent. Thank you for being so who you are. Like, you, yeah. During the short time I've known you, you've not changed. And so you've just been, you know, amazing. So just thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. You have an amazing week, and I can't wait to get this episode out. All kinds of snaps for us.
That's right. I love it.
All right. Till next time, my friend.
If you're a nurse or nursing student that enjoyed this episode, visit us at nurse.com/community, where you can find the Nurse Dot Discussion Group, a place where we dissect each episode in detail and delve deeper into today's topics. Nurse Dot is a Nurse.com original podcast series. Production, music, and sound editing by Dawn Lunsford. Production coordination by Rhea Wade. Additional editing by John Wells. Thank you to all the listeners for tuning in to the Nurse Dot podcast. Until next time, keep spreading the love and the care.